Welcome to the Nexus Podcast. The word Nexus means a connected group. And when it comes to church leadership, we're better together. No one should have to choose between developing themselves and developing their church. The Nexus Podcast by Christ Fellowship is all about having real conversations that equip and resource you to grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church. So let's lean in.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Nexus Podcast. I'm your host, James Duvall, and this month we are talking all things marriage and ministry with none other than Jimmy and Irene Rollins. Jimmy and Irene have over 25 years of full-time ministry experience and 10 of those years as senior pastors. Recently, Jimmy and Irene have felt a shift in their ministry focus and transitioned from the role of senior pastors to start the ministry 2 = 1. Jimmy and Irene are dynamic public speakers, authors, marriage coaches, and most importantly, they're great friends. Their passion is to inspire countless individuals and marriages with a message of hope, healing, and restoration. We're so excited to have them with us today, so let's get started. Hey, Jimmy and Irene, it is so awesome to have you on the Nexus Podcast. We're so glad to have you here with us today. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. We are honored. This is going to be amazing. Yeah. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been such a joy just to get to know you guys over the last several months and actually sit down and talk about leadership, talk about church, talk about specifically marriage today. Is going to be really cool. So you guys have been in full-time ministry for 25 years or more. And recently you transitioned from vocational ministry, senior pastor of church, to start 2 = 1, your new marriage ministry. You guys have an amazing story of how God has redeemed your marriage. But for listeners who may not be as familiar with you, could you just kind of share a little bit about your story, a little bit about what's brought you to this point and the 2 = 1?
Absolutely. First, James, we are honored to be here. Yes. We're excited for all the listeners. Mm-hmm. We're excited to talk about marriage because ours is still growing, just like everyone else's. And I think our story is probably one of redemption, one of reconciliation, one of now joy. But we have been married for 22 years, and we often say it's been about the best 6.5 years ever.
Yeah.
And when people hear that, they often laugh. But honestly, for 15 years, we were just surviving. For 15 years, we were functioning out of what we saw, and our model of marriage was not a very good model of marriage. Here we are doing ministry. Here we are doing life, having kids, but not having the foundation of a marriage to hold it all together. And so, yeah, as you said earlier, you know, I was in full-time ministry starting in 1994. Okay. Some of our listeners weren't even born.
That's right.
Then.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, doing ministry with my parents' church, and then I met the woman of my dreams. I was bivocational and worked a job as a technical recruiter, someone called a headhunter. And I remember she walked in and it was like music started playing. And honestly, I was like, wow. And I wasn't a manager. And I said, hey, can I interview her? And I met Irene, and we walked out of that interview, and I was like, not only is she hired, but she's also going to be hired as my wife. Like, I'm going to marry that
funny
girl. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
And so there, a month, maybe 2 weeks later, I asked her out on a date. It was October 28th. I'll never forget it, 1998. And yes, I remember a date. And
it's
we went out.
The
24th. I'm sorry. October, though, right?
Actually, yeah, you didn't remember the date.
I didn't. Because your love just, you know, confused me. And so we went out on a date and we fell in love. Honestly, Irene the next day said, I fell in love with you. It was her. And one day, when do we get married? And we met in October. We were engaged in December and married in June.
Wow.
And although God has redeemed it, we don't suggest that.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we spent the first 15 years growing a family, like popping out babies. Yeah. I was popping out babies.
You were popping out babies,
kids.
Not me.
Yes, yes. But during that time, we're serving your parents, learning all about ministry. And then your parents transitioned the church to our leadership. And we relaunched the church under a new name. And that was the start of really a heightened level of responsibility, heightened level of stress, heightened level of just what led to emotional crisis for us, because we didn't have the tools to handle the stress and the pressure of going into full-time ministry to the degree of senior leadership. And so we pretty much crashed and burned in 2015. We had been on sabbatical trying to take care of our issues and our underlying issues and problems. I ended up in rehab, addicted to alcohol. I was medicating my pain with alcohol. You had your own issues that you were dealing with and we were working through. Took that time away as a family to get well, and about 2 years of keeping the story close to our hearts and working with our pastors and counselors and other leaders in our circle, we finally came out and shared with our church the story of what we had been through. And as a result of that, oh my gosh, the empathy, the Me Too in the congregation that we heard, people who had been through like addiction and trauma and wanted to hear real stories of how to overcome. And we actually went public with it. And wouldn't you say the church grew? We thought it was going to go the other direction.
I'll say this. It was the first time the church grew healthy.
Yes.
Because what happens was, is we had started this church and prayed these big prayers that God supernaturally give us the city. And He actually did. And we found out very quickly that accelerated growth was not healthy growth. And what we had do is we had prayed for things that our marriage and our emotional health and our mental health and our spiritual health, it could not sustain. And so as Irene shared, we got to a place where we crashed and burned. We couldn't handle it anymore. We couldn't carry the burden of ministry and build a healthy family. And so it was kind of like one or the other, and we finally hit the reset button. Honestly, if I'm going to say it the way that I can say it, and that's as honest and as vulnerable as I can, I got sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got fed up with being fake. And I was preaching messages to thousands, but couldn't talk to the one I laid next to every night. I could build a great kids ministry at our church, but couldn't have a relationship with my own kids. And to the world, it looked like I was successful publicly, but I was failing privately. And what I've come to realize through this is that if we win at the wrong thing, we will lose at the right thing. And I thought I was winning with public ministry, but I was failing with private marriage and family. And it all, as Irene said, came to a head in 2015 when we said enough is enough. We took a year off. Irene went to get healthy, to rehab. I went to my own, you know, counseling and intensives while she was gone. And Christmas Eve, we came back together after being separated, if you will, just in proximity for almost 45 days. And God began to prepare the bridge and really just bridge the gap of that dysfunction had created.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's interesting. You said that when you came back, that the church actually grew the first time in health, and health actually breeds health, right?
That's it. That's it.
And so healthy leaders are going to breed healthy churches, healthy teams, and so forth. I'm interested, as you look back, and it hit me as you said, like when you stepped into the senior leader role, everything kind of accelerated. The pressure came, so forth. But when you look back before that, were there, in hindsight, were there some maybe red flags or cracks that were there in the foundation that maybe you didn't know until you stepped into that space?
First of all, James, what a great question. And I'll say that for me, yes, looking back, I could see that affirmation from outside or outsiders was more satisfying than affirmation from the people in my house. I could say that looking back, that because I wasn't successful at home, instead of dealing with it, I avoided it by trying to become successful somewhere else. I would say that my family got the leftovers of me and not the best of me. I was recently talking to a pastor actually today, and he was like, can you give me, if you had to talk to your younger self, I love that question.
Right.
I said, I would have made sure that my family got the best of me and ministry got the rest of me, because my first ministry is my family.
So good.
And he's like, well, I'm traveling now and doing these things now, and I'm tired. And I said, I don't want to hear you're tired. Your kids don't want to hear that you've spent the best of yourself on people outside the house. I said, you slam a 5-hour energy when you get off that plane and you leave the kind of deposit in your family, when you were home, of connectivity, of relationship, of intention, so that when you are gone, they have something healthy to deposit from or withdraw from.
Yeah.
And so those are some of the warning signs. The warning signs is how much time are you spending with those you love? The warning signs is how much attention are you giving with those you love? Are you having a staff meeting every week, but not a date meeting every week,
mm-hmm.
or date night every week?
Yeah.
Those are some of the warning signs.
Right, and for me, what stuck out to me was like the red flag was the bitterness. Was the resentment.
You were bitter at me?
100%.
Oh my goodness.
Because we were leading together, and here we go. I'm, you know, at work, I would be upset with my boss, and my boss would communicate with me in a way that I didn't appreciate, and I had to go home and connect with him as my husband.
Oh, wow.
That was really, really hard. And then here we are building a church together, and our kids were part of building the church with us, but we didn't do a whole lot outside of that. We wow. didn't have a life outside of ministry.
That's so good.
So later on, you know, part of our journey has been a year ago in 2021, Easter 2021, we transitioned our church to new leadership and merged with another church. And when we did that, we launched our ministry 2 = 1, from where we're investing in marriages. And what we realized at that time was that we had spent all this time building this church with our kids, and then suddenly it was gone.
Yeah.
And we didn't have anything in our hands.
We had nothing to talk about.
We had nothing to talk about, and we literally had to relearn how to do life with our yeah. own children outside of church.
Yeah.
So red flag was the time, the lack of balance in the time we spent at yeah. church, doing church, talking about church. We yeah. didn't have any boundaries around that.
Wow.
So true. And I think that's one of the dangers of any marriage. Doesn't matter if you know you're a senior pastor or a ministry leader or just leading the team. If your priorities, what you said, if your priorities mm-hmm. get out of whack, and you see this a lot of times with people who are become empty nesters. And
it's
their
true.
Priority has been in their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, they built their life
wow.
around their kids. Our kids are gone. And then they're like, what do we have? You know?
It's true.
So Irene, you made a comment about being bitter, working with your boss and then coming home and being with your boss at home. So talk to us a little bit about the idea of working together.
Yeah, sure. It was a tension we had to figure out how to manage. Certain things we couldn't resolve on our own. So we found ourselves in counseling with the help of a mediator to try to resolve this bitterness and tension that was growing inside of me. Because at work, I submitted to him as senior leader. He had the final voice of authority. But at home, we submit one unto another.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just became difficult because, number one, my makeup, the way I'm wired, I'm a 9 on the Enneagram, I'm a pleaser. And then he is strong and very, very confrontational,
I feel
would you say?
A little bit. I'm
and but I love that about you. I love those qualities about you. But I would take the back seat at home. And what I found was that these differences that we had that helped us in the workplace, me being administrative and arranger and things like that. I helped your vision, enabled your vision to move it forward. I poked holes with discernment in your vision to say, hey, Jimmy, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? But then when we would easily switch back and forth between, are we husband and wife right now?
Right.
Or are we leading together? And that got really challenging. And I found a tool, The Working Genius, actually, mm-hmm. by Patrick Lencioni, which helped us tremendously because we basically got together as husband and wife and realized, okay, what frustrates you at work? What are you really amazing at, which is your working genius? And what are you just okay at? Because if I stay in my lane, and I stay in my sweet spot of what I'm a genius at, what God created me to do, I find that I'm fulfilled at work. I'm less frustrated and grumpy. We worked on our communication about it on date night and actually talked about it. You're a galvanizer. You can make people want to go. You invent things. You're a visionary. But you can't make it happen without my gifts.
Absolutely.
And it's both of them kind of coming together.
I think what makes it difficult to work together is if there's insecurity in who we are individually and personally.
Yeah.
And so I'll just say 2 words, boss and boundaries,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if I'm not a boss of me, I'm not talking about on an org chart, but if I don't think that I'm a boss, like I'm confident in who I am secure in how God made me, I said earlier that awareness of your spouse's strengths are not, weakness of your own, or yeah. they're not, whatever of your own. And I feel like that once I got secure mm-hmm. individually, I didn't have to try to be a boss corporately mm-hmm. and at home with the family. Mm-hmm. And those were all insecurities that showed up. I'm going to say this, pastors, leaders, in the form of control.
Yeah. Mm.
And when we are out of control internally, we are going to try to control externally. Mm-hmm. And why it was difficult for Irene and us, it was primarily me. Hmm. Irene was a chameleon. Irene was ambidextrous in her roles. Mm-hmm. I did not know how to submit because I didn't want to lose control.
Right.
And once I got secure in who God called me to be through counseling, once I embraced that I am flawed, I have ADD, throw a H in there occasionally, yeah. and realize that ooh. I can use these things as a gift
yes.
if I just embrace that that is who I am.
Right.
Scripture says it this way, His power is perfected in our weakness. Mm-hmm. But why are we trying to lead with our strengths?
Yeah.
I begin to lead out of my weaknesses and say, you know what? I'm not that. And then when you do that, you bring other people's gifts. Mm-hmm. So I was able to bring those gifts in at work. I was able to bring those gifts in at home
yeah.
and lose control. And I think what was the secret sauce to us even now and how we operate is we both are bosses. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things, the hierarchy thing, it was just an obstacle. Like, why did I have to have the last say on everything? Mm-hmm. Why did I have to have the control on everything? I don't know HR. I don't know mm-hmm. finances. I don't know the things. And so when you not just give task away, but responsibility away
yeah.
at work, it makes it easier at home.
Right.
And then the last thing is boundaries. Mm-hmm. We just decided, you know what? We're not talking about work in the bathroom. We're mm-hmm. not talking about work upstairs. Mm-hmm. No one comes in the house with their cell phone
in their
hand or on a phone call. And we started to separate work from home. So we both didn't have to figure out which cape or which uniform to wear in which environment.
I have a follow-up question to that.
Yes.
So there's a lot of church leaders who are co-leading.
Yes.
And you guys are now co-leading 2 = 1. So mm-hmm. how does that play out practically for you now? Mm-hmm. And how would that play out for church leaders who maybe the husband and wife are co-pastoring or co-leading together?
I think that awareness, like Jimmy said, of knowing what you're not mm-hmm. and knowing what you are and then submitting those things to one another. So if Jimmy has ADHD, but he's a visionary and God's created this amazing brain, he can think of 5 million things all at the same time. But God put me with him to make it happen. So if he doesn't submit to my warnings, and this is where the submission, mutual submission comes in, like you lean into my warnings when I'm discerning that, hey, that we might need to slow down. Hey, I'm seeing signs of burnout. Like our pace needs to change.
Yeah.
Like you began to submit those things to me and gave me in terms of boundaries. We decided together on, and even in 2 = 1, Irene's making final decisions on all HR. On all benefits, on all things, the schedule and things like that. And you carry the things that you carry really well. And if we function in our sweet spots like that and function as if we're on the same team, imagine that.
Team Rollins.
Right. Team Rollins, hashtag Team Rollins. And for so long, it was comparison, and a lot of couples deal with competition in the workplace. Mm. And we just stop fighting each other.
Yeah.
And I think Galatians chapter 6:4-5, the Message version says it so amazingly. It says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given. And then sink yourself into that.
Wow.
Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life.
That's good.
Hello.
That's so good. And actually, I want to pull on this thread just a little bit more. If you're going to go back and look at where you were, if there was a pastor that saw some of these things, how would you have wanted them to address you? Now if you're talking to another pastor and they have team members and are a leader and they have people that they're leading and they see maybe some things in couples that they're leading, how would you encourage them to address that?
I think that's a great question. And I think those kind of things come out of relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't think anyone should do life alone. Mm-hmm. And I think taking it to the next level is you don't grow alone. And you only grow by having feedback. Mm-hmm. And you only have feedback. The best feedback is the one or is the person that you invite to give it. We would call that accountability.
Yeah.
But I don't think that people really understand what accountability is.
Right.
You know, for me, as simple as this, accountability is someone in your life that has access to speak into what you were created for, which would be your purpose.
Yeah.
And also what you're capable of, what would be your potential crisis. Mm-hmm. And I think if we give people access to that level, then they can have this kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm, right.
Hey, man, are you free to receive some feedback right now?
Right.
You know, I've been noticing. And what I make up about that is this. And so I think the language of feedback is critical to say, man, how can I confront someone with the goal of bringing life at the end? Not to just call it out, mm-hmm. but to say, hey, you know, Jimmy, you're preaching great messages, but I don't see you talking about your family much. Hmm. And if you're not talking about your family much, you're probably not spending much time mm-hmm. with them. What's yeah. your schedule look like?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not an indictment. That's a concern.
Yeah.
And out of those concerns, we can start to tally up those concerns. Hey, remember last week when I talked to you about that? I haven't seen much change.
Right.
So here's another concern. Are you listening to me?
Right.
Is this valuable? And so if the person is not inviting, you have those conversations. If there are inviting, I think the best kind is, hey, do I have any blind spots? Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you wish you could say to me that might be difficult
yeah.
for me to hear? Those are the questions that pastors and leaders have to have people outside of that you pay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like people that can give you unfiltered feedback that love you, and the only vested interest they have inside of you is you getting to your destination.
Yeah.
And I That's think right. for me, I now on this side of it at 48 years old, I just invite it.
Yeah.
Man, is there anything you see?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are you seeing my schedule?
Yeah.
You know, you were around me with my family. Are my words harsh with my family? Are they harsh with my staff?
Yeah.
And one of the things that just popped in my head,
mm-hmm.
And because I've been talking to a lot of younger pastors about this, I think if you are typically generous and you stop being generous with your words, with your actions, with your finances, it's an indication that something is off.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm.
And when something is off, you have to give someone else the right to x-ray or examine what they see.
That's mm-hmm. so good.
That's so good, Jimmy. And I really think that leaders go first.
Yes.
So like we had healthy leaders that were in our life that we found probably 3 years after we launched the church.
Yeah.
And after we found those people, what we realized was how isolated we were.
Yeah.
We needed to be planted and have, you know, connection and relationships and community. And we found that. And when we did, we noticed that they would ask us questions. They would go first with their mm-hmm. vulnerability and their authenticity, and they would go first. And yeah. we began to see people actually say that out loud. They actually admit when yeah. they're weak. You mean a leader doesn't have to have it all together all the time and do all things all at the same time, have visions and dreams for our community and yeah. accomplish it all and have perfect families? No, we don't. And when we started to get out of that isolation, we began to invite those questions in. And I would say now what we've learned is we ask people, who do you hang out with?
Mm-hmm.
Who's in your life? Who's in your circle?
Right.
Like, who are your trusted few that yeah. you can share anything and everything with because they're so safe? But then who pastors you? Every pastor needs a pastor.
Yeah, I was going to say that. We're so yeah. the same.
Like every pastor needs a pastor. And we went so long without being pastored. For some reason, when we transitioned the church from your parents, they no longer were necessarily speaking into our life as our pastors. We had to go find new ones.
Yeah, that's so true.
Go ahead. Absolutely.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, I think one of the concerns I have about leaders and ministry leaders is, like you said it, you're supposed to have the perfect family. You're supposed to mm-hmm. have the perfect faith. You can't struggle. And so, you know, a lot of leaders, I believe, especially in this area of marriage, probably struggle in silence because mm-hmm. if I go to my pastor is it going to disqualify me for leadership, or am I going to be sidelined mm-hmm. in this area? And so I think a lot of couples, they just isolate, you know. I think couples in general, when they're in crisis, they isolate mm-hmm. anyways. So what would you say about that? Like, what, for somebody who's listening, who mm-hmm. may just kind of go, they're listening, kind of go, man, yeah, my marriage is not great. Mm-hmm. My relationship with my wife or my husband is not really good, and I'm not sure where to go. Where would you, what would you encourage them to take a first step and do?
Absolutely. First of all, I think it's just that it's okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not okay to stay not okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of preachers preach this, and many of you are listening, you have preached this. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Mm-hmm. Well, having a, like, the blood of the Lamb is what Jesus did. The testimony is what we're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to talk about temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Testimony requires talking about what I was tempted by.
Tested
it talks
by,
about
yeah.
talking. It talks about verbalizing. So mm-hmm. the first thing you do is verbalize it with yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The second thing you do is verbalize it with a safe person, somebody outside of your staff.
Yeah.
Somebody maybe even outside of your board.
Yeah.
You know, I suggest, because, you know, having a failed marriage or having a bad marriage can sometimes for pastors be an occupational hazard.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
So who do I talk to that's not going to fire me?
Exactly.
Right. So who do I have in my circle of accountability that can hold me accountable, but doesn't hold my future, my paycheck?
Yeah.
And so I would go to them and I would say, hey, can we take off the friend hat right now? Or can we just put on the brother hat? Because brothers can say anything to one another.
Right.
Right. And at the end of the day, you're still family. No
yeah.
matter what. Okay. Divorce is not an option between you and me as brothers, but for some reason, it's an option between me and my wife.
Hmm.
And I need you to give me I want to give you access to talk to me about myself for a second.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you see within me? And as they do that, then you begin to open up conversation. Well, now let me tell you what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we talk, I feel like we're at one another.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do about it. You see, for me, James, I wouldn't even preach anything about marriage because mine was so bad.
Wow.
And the result was every marriage in my church was now struggling.
Yeah.
Because we never talked about it
yeah.
because ours was bad.
Right.
Man, I think there goes the shepherd, there goes the sheep.
Yeah. Yep.
And so that conversation is so key with a safe person.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, on those levels of accountability, someone above you, someone,
yeah.
a pastor, and it's bad. I need help. Here's the problem. I've gotten on some of the young guys in my life when they're telling me about how to fix a problem instead of how to navigate it before it blows up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because we are not talking, because we're not transparent, because we're not vulnerable, we're asking people over us to fix it rather than help it.
Right.
You know, we're at the worst. Man, start talking to someone the moment you feel resentment.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, guess what, guys? I call it, it's simple. It's three C's. It's coaches, counseling, and couches.
Yeah.
Right? Coaches. Somebody who's coaching you mm-hmm. that you're not paying. Counseling, you're investing in your health. And couches, that's the person you sit next to that you're having the problem with.
Right.
And I think we just have to learn how to communicate, because everything that you don't verbalize,
yeah.
you internalize.
And hopefully that moves to cuddling.
Cuddling. I like that. I like that.
So
that's a 4C. We're going to preach that. And cuddling.
Hilarious.
But
come on.
So true. I mean, you know, they say the average couple that's struggles mm-hmm. for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Before it actually, you know, comes to an end. And like the preventative side, like if you could step mm-hmm. in, you know, at the very beginning,
yeah,
you can prevent a lot.
Exactly. And
instead of trying to give prescription
mm-hmm.
to the sickness that's already there, you know, so.
Yeah, because if you deal with it privately and you're going to your coach, your counselor, and you're dealing with it with God and with your spouse and like really talking about it, then I believe that it doesn't have to go public.
Absolutely.
And like these situations mm-hmm. where we're seeing things in the newspaper, articles online, yeah. you know, I'm dating myself now.
Newspaper.
But before you have the fall,
yeah.
it could have been dealt with privately if we weren't, I will say, if we aren't prideful about having our issue known by even a few. I mean, we've got to deal with our issues or it's going to deal with you.
There you go again. If you don't deal with it.
Yeah. It will deal with you. And that's what about our story. Especially you, I lean on your strength with that. You were very much adamant about saying, I need to remove myself from the stage. I am right now in this moment not qualified to preach because I have issues going on that I need to take care
of. Tell them about it.
And your home. And you know, you felt disqualified in the sense that you were not healthy emotionally. Our home wasn't healthy. I was abusing alcohol. There was so much going on. And I love the fact that you reached out to pastors and said, look, we need to take a break. And the church kept growing while we were gone. While we were on sabbatical, you know, people, our community of pastors came and preached and kept the ship going. And it was absolutely amazing because the people never skipped a beat. And that just kind of showed us during that time that God is responsible for his church at the end of the day, not us.
Yeah.
And when we took that weight off of us, that was part of our new season of health, was viewing even our responsibility as it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. It's his church. Our responsibility is what we can control, wow, which is us, our marriage, me, myself, and I.
That's so good. So let's talk about this new season that you're in. You guys have been working on your health. You gotten healthy and still working that, but growing in your relationship with one another, but now you're stepping into this new season, Two Equal One. And just talk a little bit about what's going on with that, the vision for it, what you hope to accomplish through that ministry.
Well, I think for us, I can't believe that we get to do this.
I know, I can't believe it.
And what I feel like our vision or mission is literally to share our story, because there's an anointing I believe that God has placed on our lives that, honestly, I feel greater than any message I'll ever preach when I'm talking to a couple, and we're able to let our pain, you know, count for more than pain. It starts to count for purpose because we're sharing it, and you can see enlightenment happen and people saying, and so two equals one was basically, you know, when you get married, you know, the two shall become one.
Right.
And when we started this, we realized throughout all of our counseling, there is probably not more of a different individual than me and Irene. Like, we are complete opposites, polar opposites. We are different. She likes peanut butter, I like jelly. It's like that different, but they can go together. And so that's what we came up with, that, you know, two being different doesn't have to divide you. It can actually complete you. And when we lean into each other's differences, that's the mission of Two Equals One, that awareness of my spouse's strengths do not mean the absence of my own. Awareness of my spouse's strengths doesn't equal the absence of my own. And that's what Two Equals One is all about. So now we coach pastors. Now we coach just people in the community. We're partnering with churches to come alongside and really help their staffs and church leadership in the area of marriage. And what I'm really excited about is next year we're starting cohorts or groups of 10 pastors who we're coaching and doing life with and doing vacation with. And it's absolutely our passion.
We're literally trying to model this health that we have learned recently over the past 6 years. And we've made it our mission to help share our story, because when we share our brokenness in our seasons, people can relate. We become relatable and people are like, oh my gosh. So I really can overcome these things, even though I'm a leader, even though I serve in a church full time, or I'm a volunteer or what have you. I can take time to take care of myself. I can focus on my marriage, because when our marriage is healthy, then, you know, really that's the greatest gospel message we could ever preach, I believe.
You better preach, girl.
So, you know, you don't have to be on a stage to do that. You can be a volunteer in a ministry. And I believe that modeling that, if we as leaders just take the responsibility and the ownership to make that the primary investment, then we're modeling that health to generations who have maybe not have ever been exposed to healthy things. And I think also just so many people aren't hearing stories of recovery and overcoming addiction. And majority of the feedback we get with Two Equals One Ministry is, how did your marriage survive? How did your family manage? Because as statistics say, most don't end well. Like when people get into an addiction, it doesn't end well. So we want to give people tools so it can.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. It's exciting. I've been to one of your marriage intensives. That's where you come, right? And it's fantastic. Even
thank you.
The little salsa dancing, which was
we're gonna have fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Which, you know, my wife would tell you I have no rhythm. So for you to get me to do salsa.
It was fun watching.
Hey, I made it through. So we're gonna put all the information about 2 = 1 in the link so people can get to that. But I thought I would end our conversation just getting to know you on a little bit more about your relationship.
Let's do it.
Okay, so a few just fun questions as we wrap up today. So who's the better cook?
He is.
I am.
Easy.
No question on that
one. Not even a question.
I have a feeling that he's going to be answering this one too. Who has more shoes?
He does.
I do. Mm-hmm. I have Jesus walked on water, and I feel like walking on whatever
you
just
need
requires
the right shoe.
Different surfaces. If there's going to be different surfaces, I need different shoes.
Shoes for all the
different
surfaces.
That's right. I got it. Got it. So here's another one. Who's the most likely to take the most selfies when you go out somewhere?
He is.
I am.
He is.
Jimmy.
100%.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're getting a theme right here.
Exactly.
It's all about me.
It's
maybe
all
I'm
about
selfish.
You,
I'm seeing something.
We're seeing some new cracks here.
Do you see anything? Does he have any blind spots?
Okay, how about this one? Who's most likely to surprise the other with a gift?
You.
I am.
He is.
Wow. Do you bring anything to this marriage?
I know, right? It's terrible. It's terrible.
That's great.
I keep us all together.
She does.
I keep us together.
Let's see if Jimmy gets 5 for 5. Who's the most likely to plan a date night?
Me.
Irene.
Oh, come
100%.
On.
100%. See? Yep.
There you go.
So I'm the arranger. I keep everything together.
I was going to say, who's most likely to be administrative? Irene.
Me.
Yeah.
So
she keeps us all together.
You two are like, you know, opposites attract.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Getting to know you guys, it's cool to see how your strengths have aligned for this season, and I know that God has positioned you for this season to really invest in the church, but in marriage as a whole. And it is, I think it's for such a time as this moment that there are leaders who are struggling in relationship and they don't know where to turn. And so to have somebody who has walked through difficulty in a leadership position and come out the other side in strength and able to invest in that and doing it in a fun and really relevant, connected way is a gift to the church. So thank you for what you're doing. I really am excited about that.
It's an honor.
And thanks for being on the podcast today. This has been a lot of fun. And
a whole lot of fun.
We've enjoyed it.
Yeah, so, and we'll hopefully do this again sometime.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
And thanks for listening today to the podcast. We're going to put the links to 2 = 1 in the show notes, and you can get all the other things we talked about there. And we'll catch you next time on the Nexus Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Nexus Podcast. For additional resources and show notes from today's episode, check out our website, nexusplatform.com. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a comment below. We hope these conversations left you feeling equipped and resourced as you grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church.